Our scripture readings this morning are from the New English Bible, 29th chapter of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is in Babylon with King Nebuchadnezzar. And these are the words of the Lord. When a full 70 years has passed over Babylon, I will take up your cause and fulfill the promise of good things. I made you by bringing you back to this place. I alone know my purpose for you, says the Lord, prosperity and not misfortune, and a long line of children after you. If you invoke me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you shall find me. If you search with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you again from all the nations and all the places to which I have banished you, says the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile. And that happened about, between year 450 to year 600 before Christ was born. Then, after the crucifixion, the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the Romans and reading from the first chapter of Romans. He says to them, let me begin by thanking my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because all over the world they are telling the story of your faith. God is my witness, the God to whom I offer the humble service of my spirit by preaching the gospel of his Son. God knows how I continually make mention of you in my prayers, and I am always asking that by his will I may show somehow or other succeed at long last in coming to visit you. For I long to see you. I want to bring you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Or rather, I want to be among you, to be myself, encouraged by your faith as well as you by mine. But I should like you to know, my brothers, that I have often planned to come, though so far without success, in the hope of achieving something among you, as I have in other parts of the world. I am under obligation to Greek and non-Greek, to learned and simple. Hence my eagerness to declare the gospel to you in Rome, as well as to others, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the saving power of God for everyone who has faith, the Jew first, but the Greek also, because here is revealed God's way of righting wrong, a way that starts from faith and ends in faith. As Scripture says, he shall gain life who is justified through faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Malcolm. Let us pray. Holy God, you often work in unexpected ways and through unexpected situations. And we know at your heart is community. And as we think a little bit about what that meant for the Romans and for ancient Israel and what it means for us today, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your words through the words of Mark and myself. Pray that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to invite Mark to come up and join me. We're going to kind of stand at opposite sides. This is sort of our first experiment with doing this together, but I'm hoping it's going to work. We have a nice wide lens when we need one. So I've already introduced Mark, so I don't have to do that. We're going to kind of do this in a bit of a question and answer format. So And since Mark is our guest, I'm going to let him have the first question. And Mark, you have, I'm assuming, the unique distinction of being the first managing director at Gracefield to work there 2 years without actually having camp. What has that been like when it comes to trying to form community?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly hasn't been an easy endeavor. I like to consider myself to be a proactive person, but these last 2 years have forced quite a bit of reactive decisions as we adapt to ever-changing circumstances. I do have notes. These are indeed my answers to these questions. I just want to point out that yesterday at the camp office, I was working there with Matt Sayers, who works at the camp, it took me like 6 tries to get through a story because I kept getting distracted on rabbit trails, and it cemented in my mind that I need to have some sort of tether to keep me on topic so that I don't keep you here until next Sunday. Reminding myself of what my initial answer actually was. I don't think that what we're seeing in community is something that necessarily started at the beginning of the pandemic. In 2020, Netflix released a documentary called The Last Blockbuster that details the situation surrounding the very last Blockbuster video rental store in Bend, Oregon. And one of the things that I found most interesting was just a reminder of how much things have changed over the years. Because of technology and whatever. I used to have a friendship, a relationship with the guy who worked at the video store. I used to go there, and he would recommend things to me that he knew I would like, but he would also show me things that he liked. Through that, I would say my knowledge of movies, the amount of things I was exposed to, increased. It was personal and it was relational. We all have cell phones now, and that's changed a lot of things because now we call people, but we used to call places. I used to have to talk to my friend Paul's mom before I could talk to my friend Paul. In particular, it was only minorly scarring that she would make me tell her that I loved her before she would pass the phone to her son. It probably bothered him more than it bothered me that she would do this. But that was the scenario where we were community in ways that we just don't get. We can have friends now that I can have friends now that don't know my mom. Well, partially because I'm an adult, but also just for the way our society has changed. David Spangler, who's an American spiritual philosopher, said, some people think that they are in community, but they're only in proximity. True community requires commitment and openness. It is willingness to extend yourself to encounter and know one another. It isn't easy work, but I think that has been something that has shaped how I've attempted to tackle the job, to be open, to take time to talk to people as much as I can, in the hopes that will get the ball rolling and they will pay it forward and talk to other people and build that community for the ongoing strength of the camp. Okay, your turn. So what has it been like trying to maintain community at St. Stephen's during the pandemic?
Before I answer, would you like to
see? I might, yeah, that would just a little easier than...
I apparently muted myself. It's been a really interesting time over the last 2 years because from a worship perspective, I think we've actually in some ways grown in terms of our weekly worship because there are people who were connected to our community but could only make it to worship maybe once, a few times a year, or, you know, every 6 weeks. And they've been able to worship regularly with us, right? Families who would disappear for skiing season or for cottage season have been able to connect, sometimes in the car on the way to the ski slopes. So our worshiping community, I think, has really blossomed through technology during COVID, but worship is only one part of being a Christian community. And certainly, I think being connected to one another has been challenging. And I know for me, I would much rather have a face-to-face conversation than a phone call. I don't know what it is, but looking at the phone and having to pick it up, that's a difficult thing for me. And so people who I used to talk to every week or every few weeks at church, you know, I haven't seen them in 2 years. And so maintaining those connections and those have been difficult. And I do agree with you that I don't think COVID created this lack of connection and community, this challenge. I think it hastened or accelerated what was already happening for the reasons you talked about. And I think in our community, I think there's lots of people who have a commitment to this church. But that openness piece is really hard, right? Because openness requires vulnerability, right? You have to be willing to share something about yourself that someone could use to hurt you. And I think not just in our congregation, but I think those are things that are really hard for people to do, to take those next steps. So we read a story today, or Malcolm did, the beginning of Paul's letter to Rome. And he starts with about praying for this community that he's never met and doesn't know. And I was wondering what you think, and he says he's thankful, right, for who they are and what they do. And I was wondering what you think about how being thankful can be a basis for staying connected as a community.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on this because I was like, you know, kind of using my friend Google, and looking at the idea of thankfulness and community and prayer and community and kind of trying to research articles. I found something that was from the Positive Psychology Research from Harvard University. So I don't know if there is a negative psychology research department at Harvard, but perhaps there is, because this is from the Positive Psychology Research Department. And their findings said that gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, and improve their health, and deal with adversity and build strong relationships. And the reason I mention this is because I was, you know, kind of investigating the thought on his thankfulness leading him to pray. And the Oxford Dictionary defines thankfulness as the feeling of being grateful. And so it got me thinking that Paul's expressing his thankfulness, which by definition is he's showing gratitude, because in the dictionary terms, thankfulness is something I feel. It's for me. Mm. But gratitude is when I put it into action. And I think prayer is another way where we put our thankfulness into action. And then that is what has an impact on the people around us. Mm. And so as we allow our thankfulness to motivate us to take action, then we start to turn from an inward me-centered viewpoint of the world to being outward and upward in our thought process and in our love for the community. And I think that being the motivation for prayer is what increases its power. So yeah, I guess I have to ask you a question. So what do you see as Paul's point in writing this letter to the Romans?
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting letter because most of Paul's letters, he's writing to people he knows, right? He's been to these churches, he's met people. Usually at the end of his letters, you know, he says, has personal greetings for people who are leading in the church or people he particularly connected with. We don't have any of that in Romans because as far as we know, Paul hasn't been to Rome yet, okay? He's been a Christian for 20 or 25 years. This is the sixth letter chronologically. That we have in the Bible from Paul. So he had a lot of time to travel and to teach and to kind of figure out his theology about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But he hasn't made it to Rome, right? And you'll hear in his letter, right, his frustration that he keeps trying to get to Rome and he can't. So how many people here have had some kind of travel plan disrupted in the last 2 years? Right? It's like, it's a lot of us, right? And some people have just said, you know what? I'm not even going to try, right? I'm just going to say travel is not an option until things start to look better. So we can kind of relate to Paul here, right? That he's been trying to get to these people. Maybe you have family members or friends you've been dying to meet, to visit that you haven't been able to go see. And Paul finally decides to use the technology at his disposal, a letter, to share his thoughts and his understanding of what it means to be followers of Jesus to these strangers that he wants to be in community with. And, you know, Paul's very clear that the letter is not sufficient, right? That it's not good enough to just connect from a distance, that there's something about us that requires person-to-person connection, right? Whether that's on a Sunday or whether that's through other events, wherever it might be. But he says, in the meantime, let me give you this letter. So Romans represents the most complete version of Paul's theology that we have. And this is one of the things that brings me encouragement during this pandemic, right? Is that through Paul's frustrations and his changing in plans, we get the opportunity to have this letter that probably never would have existed if Paul had been able to go visit Rome when he wanted to, right? Because he wouldn't have had to write, right? All of his other letters are responding to specific concerns. So we can kind of piecemeal things together from those letters. But Romans is different. And if he'd been able to visit in Rome, right, we probably never would have gotten this letter. So it's a huge blessing to us because of Paul's frustration. And so my hope is that over this pandemic, we've been forced into do things that we didn't want to do that will result in blessings that we see, some of them we see today, and some of them will come later. And one of the reasons why Paul wants to go to Rome, right, is he wants to preach the gospel, right? He wants to preach the good news to the Romans. And he says he's eager for it. So I'm wondering what you're eager for when you get to have campers at camp this summer.
I said the short answer is that I'm eager to get to do my job, or at least all of it, finally, after 2 years of not. But there is a longer version, so I can take up a little bit more time.
Of course.
I'll highlight again the cards, and the reason I'm doing that is because it allows me like a little bit of a tether to keep my train of thought. So what we've done this year is we've made three cards instead of just the usual one, and so each card is a different color, and it identifies different facets of what we're trying to do or parts of our ministry at Gracefield. So adults and families is the blue card, and that's something that we have been able to lean into over these last 2 years. We've been able to host people to come up with their families and tent, or use a cabin, or rent lodge space in some of the lodges. And so I'm looking forward. I'm eager to continue that work because I think that we have seen real growth in that area. Mm-hmm. Our online booking system is like blowing up. If you want to book a stay at Gracefield, like, I feel weird saying it, but like, book soon. Like it's so much that the in our finance committee meeting earlier this week, people thought it was an error because they were like, why is the booking fees line in the budget or in the P&L so much larger than it was in previous years. And it's like, that's because people are booking. Retreats and groups, the orange card, is an area that we've been able to do a little bit, but not that much of due to pandemic restrictions. And I'm looking forward, I'm eager to see what we can do there, because I think that's a cornerstone part of who we are at Gracefield. We have a beautiful setting. It's a great place to come with a small group or a not so small group. So I'm eager for that. And of course, the Gracefield Green Card for children and youth. It is obviously something that has been missing these past 2 years, and I am eager to finally have some quiet and respectful children around.
You changing camps on us, Mark?
I am eager to have some noise and to have some action and some fun. I'm eager for the 60th anniversary celebrations that will be taking place this summer to celebrate 60 years. That's a long time. That's way longer than I've been alive. 60 years of what God has been doing at the camp. I'm excited to implement some new communications tools, not just the fact that we've divided into three, but we are indeed working on a new website. So I'm excited about things like that. And I'm just eager to see what God is going to continue to do through the camp. Mm-hmm. And I should add that what led into this question is Paul's eagerness to preach the gospel. And surprisingly enough, I'm eager to do the same. I'm eager to be there again on Sunday mornings in the chapel, shorts and sandals, and to spend time in community with God's people. Mm-hmm. So the letter from Jeremiah that Malcolm read this morning, was sent to the exiles in Babylon as a form of encouragement. And what words of encouragement do you have for the people at St. Stephen's who aren't ready or able at this point to return to in-person worship?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot, certainly this morning and recently, about all the things we get to do again, right? And many of us are rejoicing at being able to be in person, going up to Gracefield, you know, being closer to one another than we have been. But I do want to recognize that there are people in our community who are still vulnerable, right? Who are still uncertain about whether they want to be in crowds, whether they be small or great. And so I wanted to make sure that those of you, especially at home, who hear all this and you're not feeling ready, and maybe you're feeling guilty that you're not ready to come back to church, or, you know, and so I want you to hear again those words that God says through Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I don't know why we translate it this way, to be honest, because that word prosper, that's the familiar word shalom, right, that we talk about, that word for peace and for wholeness and completeness. And so for those of you at home and for those of you here, that is my prayer for you, for peace. If you're feeling anxious about coming back to worship, be at peace. Our online service isn't going anywhere. This week, the session approved forming a new committee called the Digital Ministry Committee that's going to, over the long term, look at how best we can use this technology, these online tools, to continue to build and to form our community and to worship together. So we're not going anywhere online. You know, we are here for you when you're ready to come back. I'm happy to come to you, to meet you for coffee, to sit in the backyard when the weather gets a little bit warmer. You know, we're still thinking about you and praying for you. You are part of this community. And when you're ready, God will let you know. And we will be Excited to have you back. But I also want to remind everyone of the second part, because we really like those words, right? The plans for a hope and a future. And sometimes we stop there and we forget about what comes next, right? And what comes next is, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. One of my fears when we take that illustration you did for the kids, right, is one of the reasons people were able to connect with church so much is because a whole bunch of the stuff that was on that page that was taking up time fell away. And all of a sudden, there were some gaps that people could fill with God. And so if I have a fear as we come out of this pandemic, is that people are going to be really quick to fill all those spaces again and forget to leave a space for Jesus. But the hope and the future and the peace are predicated on seeking God with all of our hearts. And so that's what we want to be doing as a session, what I want to be doing as a leader and as a follower of Jesus. And I would encourage you to think about that too, right? As that schedule wants to creep up and fill up, what are those things that brought you joy in the last 2 years, brought you closer to God, that you want to carve time out for? What choices do you need to make, do we need to make sure that God doesn't get squeezed out of those schedules? And just remember that we were built for community. And so as much as the online tools are important and vital, we need that connection, that face-to-face, 3D opportunity to be with one another. And we want to create those opportunities here at St. Stephen's, and we hope people will make use of them. We had a ball on Friday, I just have to point out. The youth group invited the rest of the congregation to join us for games night, and we had, I think there were about 14 or 15 of us there, and there was a lot of fun. There's a wonderful picture of Dan wearing a very silly cat crown that I'm sure will make its rounds at some point, because he was the winner of, Schulen, which... a Dutch game that has now become a tradition for our St. Stephen's game night. So that was just to be able to do that, right? And I hope we will have more of those opportunities in the future. As our guest, you get the last word. So what hope or encouragement do you have for people that are looking to return to Gracefield this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it's too simplistic of an answer, but I hope you'll come, right? I hope that if you're young enough at heart to register for one of our children in youth camps, that you'll talk to the people in charge and make sure they fill out that registration. And I hope that some of the ones that are a little bit older than that will. I'm going to look at you when I'm saying this, because I hope that they will finish and submit their applications to come and work at CAM, not pointing out any particular row in the back on the other side. I hope that you'll come. I hope that you'll invite your friends, your family, your neighbors to join you as we talk about the importance of community. Gracefield is meant to be an extension of what the church is doing, and so it is a resource that I know St. Stephen's takes advantage of to be able to create community here at St. Stephen's by using the resources we have. Our curriculum this summer at camp for children and youth is Creation Speaks. There are many beautiful places in this country and around the world, for sure, but I think that the camp is a very fitting setting for this, and I hope that you'll come and enjoy. I just wanted to end off by reading again from Romans 1, verses 11 and 12, and this time I am reading it from the First Nations version, which is on the way for some people, but I have received mine. So, I am longing to see you face to face so I can pass on some spiritual gift that will give you strength so that we can strengthen our trust in Him and together become firmly rooted in the good story.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we lift up that prayer of Paul's, that we would have opportunities to be strengthened and encouraged through our connection with one another, certainly in person, but also online, at camp and here at St. Stephen's and at churches and communities all over our city. Help us to see ways that we can foster community. Help us to be courageous when we need to be courageous, to be kind when we need to be kind, and in all things to be thankful for what you've given us and what this community has. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Mark. And we are going to sing Jesus, Life of All the World. It's number 776 in your hymn book, and it will be up on the screen. Please stand if you're able. Please be seated. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful for the communities in which you place us. We thank you for this community of St. Stephen's, located here at Parkdale and Sherwood, but not limited to this corner. You give us this base from which we go out into the world. And we pray that we are able to share our sense of community and gratitude with those around us. We thank you also, God, for the community of Gracefield, where people can connect in different ways, where community is formed amongst your beautiful creation. We pray for potential staff and for those who are applying to work at Gracefield. We pray for Mark and the board as they prepare for their first summer of camp in 3 years. We pray for campers that may be considering or have already registered to go to camp. We pray that all of these people and all of those who come to camp, those who rent campsites and trailers and rooms, those who come for retreats, for quiet time away, those who swim and fish and walk the labyrinth and do all the things that you can do at Gracefield, may they, through those activities, may they grow closer to you and closer to one another. May you blossom what is happening at Gracefield this summer. God, we want to lift up the trials of the world. It feels so big, but the continued invasion of Ukraine is terrifying for many, certainly for those who are on the ground. We thank you for the work that's happening here in Ottawa to get supplies to Ukrainians through Poland. We thank you for the work of Presbyterian World Service and Development and their partners to get money to those who need it there. We thank you for hopefully the beginnings of humanitarian corridors to be able to get food and blankets and clothing to those who are in the country. God, we don't know how this is going to end, but we pray that it would ultimately be for good somehow. We pray that those who are waging this war would have a change of heart, that the fighting would stop, that there would be a path to peace. Closer to home, God, I want to pray for those in our congregation who may be undergoing change that may be frightening or worrying, for those who are waiting for test results and procedures that are being done. And God, I want to lift up those who are experiencing grief, for those human loved ones that they've lost, but also for those who have lost pets in the last short time. There's been some in our congregation. And God, you know that animals are often very, very close to our heart, and losing them causes us grief. And so, God, I pray for comfort and peace for those who are experiencing pain. You know the cries of our heart, God. You know the people that we want to lift up to you, those who need an extra measure of grace and peace and love. Thank you for hearing those voices that are inside our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.